Okay, so we've been talking about healing, and the last module that we were talking about was destroying the lie of fear. And fear and condemnation are lies of the enemy. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, because remember, God is love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And so fear chips away at our ability to trust in God. Mike has taught us before that fear destroys faith. It's the opposite side of faith, right?
Yeah, fear produce, or faith produces action, move forward in that next step of obedience with the Lord, and fear kind of stops you in your tracks and keeps you from moving forward.
Thank you. However, the perfect love of God casts out all fear. And don't forget, he's inside of us. So he's able to cast it out of us. Just get out fear. Torment or terror is simply an organized form of fear, and our enemy is a terrorist. There are many kinds of fears, but the biggest fear people face is the fear of death. The enemy's play in this world is by using fear to keep us in bondage through our whole lifetime. Fear of death is the fear that holds all other fears together. I went over this last week, so that's why I'm kind of going fast. But if you want me to stop, just say, hey, hold on a minute. Let's talk about that. I will. Okay. So that fear of death holding all the fears together, right? This is why people struggle with the terminal doctor's report. That fear of death rises up on the inside of us. However, that fear has no place in the life of a believer, because we know we'll get a new body and live eternally with Jesus. It isn't death itself, but it's the fear of the process of death that really grips people. You know, death is tangible. We can see it. We feel it when someone else dies. We could feel the end or whatever. That makes it tangible. That makes it carnal. But how do we access God's promises? Nate's not here to tell us, but it's faith. The fear of death, fear itself, is the entire motivation for people who want to receive healing. If the fear of death is propelling you to take action, like Mike is saying, fear gets us to stop. But if fear is the motivational factor for us to take action, that action will fail because it's based on torment rather than love. So it's a terrible motivator. It's like, okay, now I'm going to do this because I'm scared. Well, it's going to fail because it's not in love, like what we just read in 1 John. 1 John's the motivating factor that's going to keep going, and the one that's going to work. The enemy is the deceiver of the brethren. So if the devil can motivate you through fear, he will, because it will deceive you. The fear may cause those positive actions to make changes in your flesh, but the deception is that you will begin trusting in those works of the flesh to bring the positive result. So you're going to be spinning your wheels. You're going to be trying to do it in your own power than through the power that's within you. So for an example, a doctor says you need to lose weight or you're going to die. So you go on a diet, it works for a time, but then you plateau or begin to put weight on again. Then you become trapped in a cycle of condemnation. This is the 1-2 punch of the enemy. He'll try to get you motivated to do something, knowing that you can't do it because you're trying to do it in the flesh, motivated by fear. Then when you fail, he heaps on the condemnation. These are the very works of the enemy that Jesus came to destroy. So how do we get to the point where we receive the life of God and make permanent life-giving changes in our lives? Those changes, actions, and thought patterns have to be motivated not by fear, but by love. Because in love, there isn't the torment like there is in the fear. There's no bondage in love. We need to allow love to become our motivator to receive healing rather than the fear of death. People who are afraid of death are always going to struggle to receive from God the gift of healing. However, those who just fall in love with God himself and allows that love to permeate through them, they're going to change effortlessly. It's not going to be anything that they do. It's just going to come from the inside out. Sickness and disease, as works of the enemy, are self-centered by nature. It seeks to isolate the individual to get them looking inward rather than at the solution, which is Jesus. The more time we put our focus on Jesus, we magnify the solution and we are minimizing the problem. The cycle of condemnation that we just briefly touched on. Sometimes faith can be misplaced on an action or a person or a conference. And these people are constantly running around seeking healing because the motivation for receiving healing is based in torment. This is when you fall into the trap of condemnation. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just can't believe right. I don't have enough faith. My faith isn't working. I've tried this, I've tried that, and nothing is working. Has that happened to anybody else besides me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If we allow fear to be our motivator, receiving healing will become a work of the flesh rather than an act of love. Sometimes we forget that the healing is contained within the healer. Rather than searching for the healing, we need to be seeking after the healer, and the healing will come. This allows the perfect love of God to cast out the fear that has been holding you in bondage. Okay, and to wrap up our review, the antidote to fear. There is an antidote to fear. However, it isn't just deciding to stop to being afraid. Like, that's it, I'm not going to be afraid anymore. No, we have to replace the lie of fear with the truth of God's word. Back to 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So we don't have to try to love God more. We only have to accept and receive the love that he has for us. This isn't a feeling, it's faith. It's a choice to believe God's word, to believe in and receive his love for you. So that's quick recap. We didn't talk about everything that was in that, but that was the main points from last week. So,
can I just ask you a question?
Yeah.
So, we always wondered about that, because then I think, well, what happens when me as a believer who knows that God loves me experiences fear? Because it's like we all.
Yeah, you have to recognize that, okay, fear showed up. Where'd that come from?
So, then fear is actually an indication of not having a revelation of God's love in that area.
No, it's a tactic of Satan.
Yeah.
So he showed up, like, a fence is always going to be put out in front of me, Jesus said. There's always going to be a fence put in front of you. I just have to choose to step around it.
But if I get into fear, it's because I'm not dwelling in our...
You're focusing on what you're afraid of, and Satan's attacking it and compounding it and trying to get you to do that, because then you won't be focused on God.
So, I mean, I'm just kind of flipping it, like, okay, so if I ever do feel fear of something, then it's almost an indicator of, like, okay,
yeah,
go to the Lord on this and figure this out.
Right. It's not a holy fear, and like a reverence or anything for Jesus. It's a fear of, well, it's, most fears are a fear of dying. Like, I'm afraid of heights. Well, the heights is I'm going to fall off and land on my head and not be around anymore. So most fear, I'm afraid of snakes. Why? Because they can bite me and poison me. Most fears tied to fear of dying. So if the fear comes up, it's kind of like the John 10:10 rule. You know, what is this? You know, why am I fearing? Okay, this is a trip of you, Satan. Let me get my focus on God right now. And that will cast that out. He'll throw that out on me. I'll start knowing his word and his promises for me. You know, didn't Jesus say that, like, these will be the the things of the believer, the signs of the believers, I'd be bitten by a snake and nothing will happen to me. You know, but yet I'm afraid of snakes. I need to trust in God's word that I'm going to be okay if I get bitten by a snake, like Paul was. You know,
to rebuke the enemy. So,
yeah.
Well, it's funny because when you said, oh, people mostly fear death, and I'm like, if you think I'm good, I'm ready to go. But I'm picturing myself like falling asleep in my bed. But the minute you said heights, I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't want to die in a plane crash. Like, yeah. So apparently, I do still have the fear of death in there.
Yeah. Me and Michael went to Carousel. It was a fear of death with all that turbulence.
You just said turbulence. I'm not going in.
But any comment on that question, or does anybody else have something to help?
I was just going to say, you can kind of take this for kind of all the like feelings and emotions we have, but like I've already said that like feelings are a great dashboard, but not a great driver. You can't let them control what you're doing, but it's more of like an indicator, like, hey, something's going on. Like your check engine light comes on. It's like, hey, something's wrong with the car right now. Let me diagnose this and figure out why, instead of like letting it just control everything. So.
See the first part of that, the very first part of it, because I got the last part. So
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Your feelings and emotions make a great dashboard of a terrible driver.
Okay.
So. Using them as indicators, like something's going on, something's happening, let me figure this out, instead of letting them control your decisions. And what you...
Okay, thank you. That's a good analogy.
I'd like to say something I had listened to last week's recording, and I was thinking about this a lot this week, so I just, while we're talking about it, I wanted to bring it up. But this is a little bit the same, but kind of different. But my mom, when she was going into her first surgery this last time, when she was so in bad shape and she knew she was going to go into surgery, and little did we know she was never going to come home, you know, the Lord was going to take her. But one of the things she said when we were talking was she was afraid to die because of, she said, you know, what if I don't make it, you know?
What if I just do enough? Yeah, what if I,
yeah, what if, I mean, what if, you know, what if I didn't do enough or just something like that? And I remember at the time going, well, but you're saved. You have Jesus. You'll go to heaven. And I didn't really know, because at the time, I think there was more of that emphasis on like, what do I have to do?
Yeah.
What, how do I strive and stay in God's good graces in order to still make it to heaven? You know, and I remember thinking about it going, I don't really even know what to say to her or how to answer that.
That conversation right there is my biggest motivator.
Yeah.
That was 7 years ago. And
yeah.
I just wished I had been there. But I did tell her, I whispered in her ear, just let go and you're going to be standing in front of Jesus.
Yeah.
But you know, you got to learn this.
Yes.
So that you can.
You do. You have to learn it, because I think, I always used to say, my mom has so much faith. She has so much faith in everything. She's just not afraid of anything. And she has so much faith for everything. But when you're faced with death, like I've never been faced with death. I've never been face to face with it, or, you know, had to wonder if, am I going to go at this point? I've never been faced with that. And so for her to be faced with that and to actually doubt, will I make it? Like, and I think, so I feel like the biggest lie of the enemy has been that you didn't do enough, you know, maybe there's more you should have done, or, you know, whatever we equate. I don't know. I just wanted to mention that because I've been thinking about it a lot this week after what you talked about last week. And I just think we've come so far, but it's still a fear for even believers. Even, you know, my mom was a believer for her whole life and had a great faith, but when faced with that, she was afraid.
Well, we'll touch on that too, about the what if I've done enough or whatever today. But you know, we start think it's a trick of the enemy to think about what was our works,
yeah,
our self works, instead of just Jesus did it all.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus did it all. All I had to do was believe.
Yeah,
you know, and I believe that you believe in him, you go to heaven, and all the things that you do for him afterwards, the works and everything, but those are just how many crowns are you, how many jewels are you going to get in your crown? You know, that's the judgment I think we're going to It's not going to be, did you do enough?
Right. Did you earn it?
Yeah. I mean, we see things like, you know, did you multiply the talents and those kinds of things? But you do those things not because you're trying to strive for more jewels. You do it because I just do it because I love him and I want to further his kingdom, and he'll reward you for it. You say. But we'll get into some more of that. So this lesson is meet the healer. The end of the last one was telling us to meet the healer. So healing is a free gift that was paid for on the cross as part of your salvation. We've looked before past weeks, and that word salvation in the Greek was soteria. It's the root from sozo. So soteria was the noun. Sozo is the verb. It means to deliver, protect, heal, preserve, save, make whole, etc. There's kind of went over that already. But healing is a free gift that was paid for on the cross as part of your salvation. But we need to focus on our relationship with the healer, especially if we've been sick for a long time. We can find ourselves only ever praying about receiving healing. It can become an idol. An idol is simply something that we put first place in our lives before anything else. Healing may be the thing we are asking God for the most, and it becomes the central focus of our relationship with God. It is actually our relationship with the healer that is when we find the healing. Okay, and I know this. When I needed healing, that was all I prayed for. That's all I was seeking. You know, the relationship was, how do I get my healing? Not about my relationship with the healer. I can relate with that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a faith merry-go-round. If we're praying and doing anything else in our faith journey to try to get something from God, we will miss the source of the supply in the midst of the searching. This is when we focus more on everything we know to do to receive healing and not seeing any results. And this is really a description of me. You know, I would read, if any of you are sick, have the elders come over. Okay, let's do that. You know, and I just kept trying everything. One of these things were going to work for me. And that was what was happening to me. They call this the faith merry-go-round. This is when people are literally going around and around in circles, doing everything they know to do in search of healing and not receiving what they know belongs to them. They know how to get off. They don't know how to get off the merry-go-round. We hear people say, I've done this and that, and I've bound and I've loosed. I've fasted and prayed. I've confessed the word and taken communion. I don't know what to do next. Notice there's a lot of eyes in there. It's that Mexican song, I right? There's a lot of eyes in there. It's not a lot of him. It's a lot of eyes. And that was a picture of me right there. If we aren't careful, we can make receiving healing a work of the flesh. Basically, we can focus too much on what we have done or haven't done rather than on what Jesus has done. It's my works versus resting in the finished work of Jesus. This is a trick of the enemy to get your focus on your actions, your failures, your shortcomings, or even your successes, your ability to believe just right. But we can never do everything right, so it gives the enemy opportunity to bring in the condemnation. Healing is not a thing. It's not an experience. Healing is not something God does. Healing is who he is. Healing is a person, and his name is Jesus. We need to make sure that our focus is on Jesus, that Jesus is on the throne of our hearts, not receiving something that we feel that we need. Let me read that again for myself. We need to make sure that our focus is on Jesus, that Jesus is on the throne of our hearts, not receiving something that we feel that we need. Okay, not receiving the healing because I need healing. This can be applied to receiving healing, financial prosperity as well, spiritual gifts, etc. Any of these things can become an idol, and we can miss Jesus in the middle of searching for these things. If we really want to understand healing, we must understand the source of healing, which is Jesus. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Jesus is the way to healing. He is the truth of healing, and he's the source of healing. He's the life of healing. Jesus' entire ministry was teaching and healing. He said the truth is what sets us free in John 8:32. When we know him, we receive what we need from him. In Matthew 4:23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people." No matter what you are suffering with, Jesus is the answer. He is the healer. We aren't trying to get something from him. We're trying to get to know him. And getting to know the healer, we find the healing. Just like people grade sin, that's a big sin or that's a little sin, that's just a little white lie. You know, in the same way people grade healing, you know, hey, I got a bum shoulder. Well, I got cancer. You know, there's different grades to sin and healing, but there's no big or small sins according to Romans 14:23. It says, whatever is not from faith is sin. So there's no grade to it. It's just, it's all sin or it's all faith. And there's no big or small sickness either. Sin is sin. We're all equally paid for, forgiven, and covered by Jesus's blood at the cross. In the same way, no sickness takes more or less power than another. Keep Jesus on the throne of your heart. Matthew 4:24. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. 14 times in the Gospels, it says that Jesus healed them all. The longer we've been dealing with something, the more seated on the throne of our heart that sickness or disease becomes rooted. You know, now it's our identity and focus. This is who I am now. I'm so-and-so and I have cancer. You know, I'm so-and-so and I have this or whatever it may be. It now becomes your identity. The longer you let it be seated on the throne of your heart. The word possessed means to be overtaken with something. It means to have dethroned reason. The issue takes up residence in the mind until it overtakes us. This is why we need to be as passionate about overcoming sickness and disease as we are about being holy. Mark 15. Who's got a Bible? I'm sorry, Mark 5. Will you read Mark 5, 1 through 8, and then just verse 15?
Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid.
So that last verse, verse 15, then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. The result of the demoniac meeting Jesus was not only deliverance, but he was clothed and in his right mind. Jesus was now on the throne of his heart. Some of us are so wrapped up in our need for healing because our bodies are speaking to us and it has caused desperation. However, we have to get back to the basics, which is focusing on the healer. God has always been the healer. In Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. This was in the old covenant, looking forward to the cross. 1 Peter 2:24 says, and by his stripes, we were healed, looking back at the cross. Exodus 15:26, they had just gotten through the Red Sea, and they're entering the wilderness. And Exodus 15:26, God says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Keep in mind, this was the old covenant where the Israelites had to keep the law to receive blessing. However, Jesus fulfilled the old covenant, the law. So we receive those blessings through faith in Jesus. The key here is God says, I am the Lord who heals you. This is God's name, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Somebody read Exodus 15, 22 through 25.
So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statue and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them.
So they wandered in the desert for 3 days without water. Then they saw a tree. They threw the tree in the water, and the water was made sweet. This is a picture of Jesus. Jesus died on a tree. He died on a cross. And when that cross was applied, healing came. The Lord is your healer. They wandered for 3 days without finding water, but on the third day, the bitter waters of Marah were healed. Jesus rose on the third day to provide healing for you. Say today, the Lord is my healer. Lord is my healer. Jesus is the great physician. Jesus is your personal medical specialist. We need to have a personal encounter with the Lord, our healer. People say, I just need a touch of Jesus. You know, I just need a touch of Jesus. You don't need a touch. You carry the healer around with you. Psalm 107, verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Well, Jesus is the word that was sent. John 1:1 and verse 14. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If you're born again, you haven't received healing, you've received the healer. Healing is not a one-time experience, it's a part of living with the healer. If we're constantly feeling the need for a touch or an experience and focused on doing, we will be back on that merry-go-round and it will turn into works. We have Jesus, the healer. We need to meet and know the healer who lives inside of us. We've covered a lot of that stuff. throughout our journey through this, once we start going through this stuff. Get to know Jesus for who he is, not for what he can do for you. Healing is a byproduct of relationship with the healer. It becomes effortless and not a work of the flesh when you allow it to just permeate from the inside of you by knowing him and loving him in that way. I'll finish off with my own testimony. And like I was telling you earlier, I got this thing that's going on with me. I mean, don't know what it is. The word says, if I do this, or they did that and they got healed, so I'm going to try that, you know, and, or, you know, have the elders come over and pray for me. Oh, I just read where if I pray for others, that's, I can get my healing through that. Like, I'm trying to like read the word and see what it is that I have to do to get this healing, right? And then we talk about going to Karis and going to a Healing Is Here conference. And, you know, and that's a conference. And, you know, at this time, you know, mom sent me enough stuff about Andrew Womack and all that stuff I had. And I'm listening to all the podcasts about healing. It's, things are starting to sink in on me. I go, yeah, I want to go to that. And you know, Andrew says, we've seen blind people healed. We've seen this, we've seen that. I'm like, well, I'm going. So, but, you know, that's months out. And then by the time we got there to Karis, I'm walking in saying, Lord, I'm just here to receive anything you have for me. Like, there's no expectation. There's no nothing. There's just this. And it changed. It wasn't like, I'm coming here so somebody will lay hands on me. It's nothing like that. It's just, by that time, I had got it in my mind that, like, the women had went and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want that. And, like, I'm just, whatever you have, Lord, I'm here to receive it. And I went with that attitude. And we were praising in the beginning. The very first day we were praising, right? I don't know any of these songs. Some of these songs we're singing today, they're singing there. These weren't the songs that I know from church, right? So, but they got the words up there, and I'm singing. I'm doing my best to sing new songs. And there was one that says, you deserve my all. I can't tell you what song that is, but those words hit me like I almost fell to my knees when I sang that. And I said, yes, Jesus, you deserve my all, not just a little of me. You deserve it all. So I talk about going to Healing Is Here, but in all reality, it's the place where my heart got right, where I put Jesus on the throne and stopped putting my sickness on the throne. And my sickness was no longer my top priority. And it was a great weekend, and we heard about just resting in what Jesus did for us. I'm like, what does that mean? You know, and I want to know more about that. And like, what was this resting stuff? It was stuff I hadn't heard before. But that was the turning point in my journey of healing, where I was like, there's nothing. Like, it is either through the teachings, through the whole time we were there, or some just revelation I had, or anything else, but it was the point where I'm like, it's me and you, Jesus, and it's not about somebody anointed putting hands on me. Like, because I even told Jennifer, I just want Jesus to say, pick up your mat and walk, right? That's what I wanted. I wanted that. Like, somebody do that for me, you know? And if Peter and Paul can do that, how, you know, when are they going to come by my way? Just tell me to do that, because I know he can, but it was a time when my heart changed, and that's when I began to know the healer. And I would say, you know, I make a big deal about Karis and when I went to Healing Is Here, but really it's when my heart, that's the place my heart changed and gained understanding what it, not what I can do to try to make my healing happen, but just saying, I'm resting what you did, Jesus. And I'm no longer like trying to figure out the perfect combination, you know. So that's my own testimony. Seems that's today. Comments, questions, discussion. All right.
Is that when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit?
I was going to go home with everything they had to offer. If it was a free booklet, if it was the baptism of the Holy Spirit or whatever it was, I'm taking it. Oh, here's a pen. I'm getting that too. Let's pray. And
does anybody need prayer?
Is there anything that's something that's tormenting or anything we can help with in prayer? Pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for everything. We thank you for who you are, your sacrifice for us, your promises for us, the relationship we have with you. You're setting us apart, Lord. And we just thank you for loving us. And we ask that you bless this day as we spend in fellowship. And we thank you for Grace, and this is her day we're celebrating, and we just can't thank you enough for her. And in your name, amen.
Amen. Amen.